And welcome to another edition of Odyssey. We talk about metaphysical topics and ancient mysteries and unfiltered news of the day. I released my new DVD, The Temples of Stone, so please check it out at my website, fountainsofuse.net. Now, we're coming to you from Portland, Oregon, and one of the biggest, the best stores for metaphysics and New Age is called New Renaissance up in near downtown Portland. It's a big store. It's three different houses. It's got tons and tons of merchandise and great psychics. And we have our guest today. Her name is Badish Lang, and she worked there for a number of years. She's an intuitive, and we're going to be talking about how to be more psychic and all different types of topics. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Mike. How are you?
Great. Thanks a lot. Why don't we start with telling me, are you a natural intuitive from birth, or did you develop it later?
Well, I'm a generational psychic. There are four of us in the family. I'm the only public personality with the gift, but I really didn't start activating until I was about 38 years old, but before that I had psychic phenomenon happening to me until I was, it still goes on, but now I can interpret it and understand it.
Oh, can you give me some examples of what would happen?
Well, when I was about 37, I was living down in Capistrano, California, and raising four children, and my husband was on a business trip, and my children were all doing what teenagers do, and they were staying the night with some friends, and I had been praying for God to give me something to do that would give me joy.
Right.
Because I was still finding my way on the spiritual path, and I went to sleep, and I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there were halos of light around all my natural plants in my bedroom, and an angel was standing at the foot of my bed, and I physically saw her, and she said, God has heard your prayers, and here are the gifts. And she turned to light, and the light went inside my body, and it knocked me out. And this is about the third time I'd had an experience with being knocked out by light, and woke up the next day and felt as though I'd been raptured. The joy inside of me was beyond anything that I could explain to anybody else, and all my senses were extended. So for a week, wherever I went, I was able to do things I'd never done before, but it also felt as though I couldn't hold the vibration. So it took me 3 years to actually study and understand what was happening to me, because there was no one that was actually in my life at that time that would be able to explain some of the phenomena.
So you had a pretty dramatic experience.
I have a lot of dramatic experiences.
Okay, we mentioned before this, you know, really great store, New Renaissance. So you ended up working there, right? How did that come about?
Well, because of my skills to be able to read photographs and read the aura, read the voice, many skills in the area of psychic phenomenon, I went there and worked for about 10 years, and it was such an extraordinary experience because I met people from not only all over the country, but people came in from different parts of the world, and I had extraordinary, wonderful experiences with people, healings, information about their patterns on their emotional bodies that were basically blocking them from their happiness. I really like to concentrate on life skills coaching for people to be able to teach them about self-esteem and communication and the emotional matrix of the body is basically where we come from, to be able to utilize the sensory system. And that means that we have a lot of gifts that are held in our emotional matrix of our body, because we're born with these gifts. Nobody is more special than another. It's just some have activated, you know, with stimulation, and others are just like born with it wide open. And we have children that are being born today that are extraordinary with their psychic abilities. But I really believe that anyone can become more intuitive and use it in their life creatively if they're willing to go through some steps of disciplines.
So are you talking about the children today being the indigo child and crystal children?
I've met them. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We have one in our network. His name is Preston. He'll be on tonight at 7 before my show at
they're
9.
A joy to be around because they're so filled with love and hope for the future.
And we need them, too.
We need them.
Tell me, you mentioned reading photographs. Is that where the client brings in a photo of something? And tell me a little bit about that process.
Well, they can send me a photograph through an email, and I can read that person's life through the photograph, as long as I can see the eyes and the face. Like, for instance, I downloaded your photograph.
Okay.
And Mike, you're a very handsome man.
Thanks.
And you came in through the codes that I get in color of royal blue, yellow, and purple. And that basically, it talks about your health. It talks about your what side of your brain you come out of. And you're a cultural artist. So you're very serious about what you're doing. And there's a lot of changes that are going to be taking place for you in 2007, and it's on more on the personal life, and the career is going to expand, but it's about the personal life and relationships.
Oh, that's good news. I like that. Well, I have a feeling big things are going to happen with this radio network, so I'm excited for 2007.
Oh, I believe so too. I think it's the new wave of the future.
Yeah, media is really changing, and you know, we don't have to go through traditional means. You know, we can do our own internet radio and go off on our own.
Absolutely, it's called freedom.
Absolutely. So, so you found a few different colors, like royal blue, and so with each person is a different type of aura that means.
Well, I can have a room full of people who have very similar color patterns, but that doesn't. It's so unique to that person because I can see symbols above their head. I've had people shape shift in front of me. What I would suggest for people to understand is that spirit speaks through a coded language, and I started with color. And there's an excellent book out there called Life Colors.
Okay.
And there's another book that I highly recommend. It's called You Are Psychic by Pete Sanders, and he's an MIT graduate. And that book has basically got some incredible instructions on how to develop the intuitive ability.
Well, our audience really loves that type of information. So You Are Psychic by Sanders. That would be great. Now, I'm looking at your picture, too, on the site, and you look fantastic.
Thank you.
Let's send everyone over to your website and tell me a little bit about what's over there.
On my website, basically, I am talking about my philosophy. It's pretty basic. I wanted people to know who I am, what I stand for, what my philosophies spiritually are. And then I have a journal, a psychic journal that I put out once a month. It's free, and they can go to the website and actually read some of the past journals that I have wrote about. I'm eclectic, so I'm interested in a lot of subjects, and I try to write them in layman's language. Like right now, I'm getting ready to prepare a overview of what's going on for 2007 through astrology. I have incredible astrologers around in my life, and even though I'm not an astrologer, I track astrology psychically, and they're amazed at my accuracy, but I'm also at the same time trying to learn more about it. I'm dyslexic, so my way of learning is very different than others.
I see. So tell me how you incorporate, let's say, take us through a typical session with a client when they come to you. What would go on during like a one-hour session?
Well, in a one-hour session, I'm doing a 360 on their life. I'm looking at photographs that they have brought me about people in their life that they want to know about, and I discern what I say. It's about empowering them. It's about expanding their awareness. It's about healing, if it's possible, if there's trust. And usually I have that, which is I'm blessed for. In a session, I would like to look at what happened to them in the womb. That tells me a lot about allergies. It talks about emotional downloads of patterns. It will tell me if they are their mother or their father's child. And rarely, that's an explanation I don't time to get into, but that's very important information. I pick up the mother and the father and how the child was treated. I usually have the child visible psychically, and the child appears to usually to be about 3 or 4 years old and talks to me telepathically and gives me information about the basics of where that person is in their life. It's like deep subconscious information that they probably have to be put under hypnosis to obtain this information. So you can imagine how helpful this is if they're trying to find their way through a difficult time.
Sure, because we know our two paths when we're 3 or 4 years old, right? But then we get sidetracked and conditioned by society.
Well, we start what they call a disassociation of the spirit, and it's like a thread of wholeness that sits out there, and until it's healed, and there's different levels of how to heal, but when that is healed, the emotional matrix or the emotional body then is feeding the physical body a lot of light, in which goes into the cells of the body, and there is a renewing. I mean, you can tell, all of us can look at a person and see if they're healthy or not healthy. I mean, we all intuitively know that when we walk into an environment, whether it is going to be something that feeds us or takes away from our life force, and that includes people. You can be in a relationship with someone who basically is taking your life force, and the longer you stay in that relationship, trying to work out your patterns, you're actually having a physical demonstration, and that's where usually frustration, I would say even depression, a lot of things happen in relationships when they're not in a position to feed each other. So I do a lot of counseling with couples and even with teenagers who, I'm amazed at some of the kids that are in college that don't have some of the life skills that maybe a few generations back were being taught at home.
Yeah, they're all watching video games for five hours a day.
It's setting them up for a lot of pain if they really don't know how to be out there in the world. And so I work with a lot of college students on their self-esteem and to give them an understanding of communication skills.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that a lot of them have turned to technology. I was on a college campus last week, and about half the kids had iPods plugged into their ears. And I was trying to ask one for directions. I couldn't even get them to take off their earphones. It was really
sad.
No,
they're sort of being mind-controlled, to be honest.
Yeah, it's really sad. But let me spell the website, because the spelling's a little bit unique. It's BADEISH.com.
That's correct.
BADEISH.com.
Yeah.
And a lot of our audience will want readings by phone, so that will be great. Let me ask you a kind of a practical question.
Sure.
Let's say you have someone in your life. Maybe you want this person to be a business partner or something. How could you discern whether they're trustworthy or they have a good nature or not?
Well, I would be wanting the photograph if I couldn't meet them in person.
But I mean a client in our audience. What could they do to develop that intuition?
Oh, the intuition.
Right.
Well, I think that they need to accept in the beginning that they were born with the ability. So it's about getting relaxed, to have a relationship with the physical body, so that you learn some relaxation techniques, so that when you do meditations, you'll be able to start out with visualizing something that's familiar to you. You know, it might be your car, it might be your pet, it may be a flower, but you look at it holographically. In other words, you're looking at an image of an apple out in space, and you can see underneath it, on top of it, and all around it, and you're looking for the shape, you're looking for everything you can notice about that image that's being projected, and that becomes a symbol for life, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So if we learn symbols, and we learn images, and we learn colors, even music can be felt on the body in color. It's one of the things I trained myself in color, was to feel it through my body. And then years ago when I was doing hands-on healing, when I would touch somebody, my hand would go into their body and feel color. And that color was a code for what was the disturbance in the field in that chakra or that organ.
I see.
So it's about studying imageries. Some of
right.
the simplest things they can do is cut out images of landscape and anything that fascinates them or is symbolic of what would make them happy. That's why collages are so wonderful, because they tell a story. And work with gathering the images as information, because many times when a psychic is reading someone, these symbols show up in a code, and the brain knows the code, and pretty soon, out of your mouth, you're giving an articulation that is very, very intimate and very, very correct.
So the purpose of the collage is for the client to manifest or to help you?
Well, you know, when you do a collage, you're putting your wishes and your dreams and desires into imagery, and that is very powerful.
Right.
But if you were collecting pictures, and you were what I do is I create files of different subjects, and I've had people go into a specific file and pick out five images, and I'll read them off of those images. And I didn't know that I could really do something like that until I actually experimented with it.
I see. So that's an excellent tool. Now, do you use any other tools such as a pendulum or tarot cards?
Well, I read tarot because it's an ancient language. I mean, that library goes back in time, and so there's a whole spiritual philosophy in tarot, and those images can come alive in an interdimensional space. For instance, if we had the magician and we stared at it and we put it in our minds, all of a sudden the magician is basically going to respond to you personally, like it might be pointing to the table where there are four symbols there that relate to a spiritual gift, or like the staff is wisdom and the pinnacle is the representation of creativity, and it has to do with money energies, for instance. The sword is discernment, and the cup is about feelings and compassion and spirit. So when those symbols are being utilized, for instance, when I was thinking about you, mm-hmm. okay, after I had a conversation with you, a lot of things flooded over the top of me, and I just sort of put it on a shelf. But what came up for me to see was a star, a cup, and a river.
Okay.
So the star basically is representing a spiritual energy. The cup is talking about the body itself, okay, the emotional body. And the river, depending on the image, I didn't stay there very long, but that would say in a nutshell that you're going to receive a shift on your circulatory system and in your blood on a cellular level as these energies are moving forward into 2007. And I really believe that when we get close to those eclipses in 2007, you personally are going to have some experience of expansion.
I'm looking forward to it. So one thing our audience can do then is buy a deck of tarot cards and then just shuffle them and pick out one and kind of meditate on that archetype.
I always say start out with the high arcana and take a, you know, just go through the deck and pull an image and stick it on your refrigerator, read about it, understand the levels of it, and pretty soon you're downloading information. And then when you're meditating, you're going to ask Spirit to give you an understanding of one thing in your life, and they'll use an image that you have studied that you know. That's the code.
That's
like
a really great idea.
A color is fabulous, too. Color is, let's just say it's primal. If you start with colors first and then learn images, and you can empower the experience by using crystals. I used to teach classes on how to use them, because they're nothing more than energy fields. And the body knows how to naturally intake what that field is. So it empowers you when you're holding a crystal physically, and on the cells it brings in more light, and it expands your receptivity.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about crystals. It's funny, you're reading my mind. But so a good idea for the audience would be to pull the 22 major arcana cards of the tarot, and then each day ask Spirit for a lesson regarding each one.
Exactly. But read about it and understand what it is that image represents.
I see. Now, as far as crystals, there's so many different types of quartz crystals and amethyst and you know, how do you get started, and how do you find the right one for you and what you need?
Well, I think that one of the simplest things to do to learn two tools at the same time is to learn about the chakra system and the colors of the stones for each chakra, okay?
Okay.
And that is a system within itself. And then when you're using the crystals that are coded for each one of the chakras through color, okay, then you know that part of the body is going to be receptive to receiving the field, or the interdimensional field energetically into the body. In other words, when you're meditating and you're opening up a chakra and you're specifically working maybe with the throat chakra, you'd be working with turquoise, so you'd be working with blue stones. I think that getting the basic stones for those chakras and working with them and branching out is an incredible adventure.
Well, why don't we go through the seven chakras? Let's start with the base or the root chakra, and tell me which stones correspond to that one.
Well, anything that has a lot of red.
Okay.
I'm going to keep it real basic, because if they remember the color code, they'll be able to just depict the stones, because in some instances, and many times your listeners probably will know this, the stones pick you.
Right.
So when we're dealing with the base chakra, anything that is red, because we're going to be dealing with blood cells, and life force energy, because it's the base of the life force.
Okay, let's move on to the second chakra.
The second chakra would be anything that is an orange stone. has earth colors in it. It can be muted, but anything that has a lot of orange in it, a lot of citrine is really good for the sacral chakra, second chakra, the, well, depending on how you want to number them. Let's just call it the second chakra. The third chakra, the solar plexus, any green stone, okay, any yellow stone, and I would say that one of the most powerful stones that I have found for the solar plexus is anything in the topaz family, anything that's in the citrine family, and then if you put some clear quartz shards around it that are double terminated, you're going to have a much more powerful feeling experience on the body. And of course, that's where we really hold a lot of our blockages on the emotional body.
I see. Let's move up to the heart chakra.
Okay, and the heart chakra, pink, green, and shades of rose.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, what about, you know, a lot of people have trouble communicating what they really feel. So with the throat, you know, opening up that throat and be able to speak.
Oh, yeah,
mind.
I think turquoise is absolutely fabulous, or any stones that are going to be in the blue-green category.
So they could wear a turquoise necklace, too.
Absolutely.
Well, that would be
absolutely
great idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the third eye stone,
right.
You can go with, I like clear quartz if it's, depending on the inclusions inside the stone itself, but obviously amethyst, Herkimer diamonds, opals, those are all very, very good for the third eye. And
purple is that color, correct?
Yes.
Right.
Amethyst. Yeah.
So people who want to be more psychic and open up that third eye could lay down and put a stone on their third eye and then meditate on it.
And meditate, yeah, and get in touch with the feelings. Now, when it's activated, there will be a pressure that develops across the brow. And I always say, when you get the pressure, take the stone off of your forehead, because that means the body has downloaded as much of that frequency as it can. And now it's producing a physical response of a pulse that tightens, and if they leave it there too long, when it starts pulsing, it can create a headache.
That's good to know.
Yes, yeah, I think so.
And let's finish up with the last one.
The last one, of course, is the crown chakra.
Right.
And anything that's in the lavender, anything that's in the clear quartz is nice.
Okay, and that's right above your head.
Right above your head.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about manifestation. You know, if somebody really desires something that they want, let's say it's going on a cruise or something.
Tell
us how they would work with that to achieve their desire.
I think one of the most powerful things one can do is get an image and then put themselves on the vacation where they're standing at a rail, they're smelling the water, they're feeling their feelings, holding on to the feelings about the anticipation and being there literally creates a charge, a magnet in the auric field, and literally draws that to you. So, you know, they say, and I believe this is true from my life experience, is that energy follows thought. So if you're into stinking thinking, then you create a lot of chaos in your life. And if you're into thinking positive things, happy things, joyful things, then those things can manifest too. It's what do you believe? What? Who are you in your relationship with what you believe about yourself? And many people have dreams, but they sabotage by not believing that they can have it.
Absolutely. Yeah, those negative voices come in.
Yes, exactly.
So that's where the writing, the collage comes in and cutting out the pictures. It helps.
Yes. In other words, you're putting your mind into something that makes you happy, something that gives you an emotional reaction.
I see. Now, let me ask you this question. Let's say a person has, like, two big decisions to make, like, for instance, you know, go live in this city or go live in that city. What could they do? What kinds of methods to lay out the two big decisions and choose the right path?
Well, I believe the first thing I would do is I would get some astral topography done and the ley lines on my natal chart to see if that would be, the locations would be compatible, and whatever was the strongest, and as an astrologer would explain, what would be more powerful for you is where you'd want to go. You wouldn't necessarily want to be sitting on your Pluto line like me, but that's what I do, Plutonian work, and that's my ley line here in Portland.
Okay, I see. So you need that specialized knowledge, then.
Yes, and your gut feelings.
Right, go with those first gut feelings.
When it goes, when everything flows in a certain direction, it's like the universe, God forces saying yes. When there is a lot of blockages and it's not flowing, one needs to stop and really analyze that, because usually when something's really right for you, it flows. It's like a relationship. It flows.
That's true. I've heard that, you know, if you're going for a job interview and you get a flat tire and you hit every red light in town...
Yeah, you might want to think about the interview.
The universe is telling you something there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about, let's say there's a person in your life and they're a negative influence and you want to remove them in your life. Let's say they're a toxic coworker. How could you do that in a metaphysically pleasant way?
Well, I guess in the beginning you stop judging them. You would look at them as just having a different compatibility with you as that they have with others. I believe that you hang with people that feed you, not people that would take away from you. But the first thing would be to forgive them and to neutralize them by basically, if you can, have a conversation about having a win-win situation, acknowledging that you're bumping around in the relationship, so there's some communication. If that is not possible, then you have to make a choice. Can you be around that person, or do you need to leave that environment?
Absolutely.
It's, you know, a lot of it is just really common sense, isn't it?
It really is.
And it's communication skills. I believe that what we've lost in this world or our culture is the ability to talk intimately and speak first of what our intentions are and how we want it to, well, how we want someone's listening, and how we enroll them in our listening and our body language is basically telling whether we're going to have a superficial conversation or we can have a meaningful conversation. And I don't know about you, but you know, a lot of meaningless conversations have a tendency to bore me because it really makes me feel as though there's manipulation or a lot of hiding, and most people can't hide from me, so I'm fortunate enough to have a lot of real conversations with people.
Yeah, and as I go through my day, I try not to say in a phony way, how are you? How are you? I always say good afternoon or good morning.
Exactly.
I just say that I'm not going to start with a phony question. Or, you know, you want to ask real questions of people.
Well, you really want to know. I mean, and...
Unless you ask it in a genuine way, how are you?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
I really do want to know.
Well, see,
really...
it's the inflection of your voice, isn't it, Mike?
Absolutely.
The inflection of your voice tells someone if you really want to know or not.
It's funny because we're both intuitive. Like, when I walk into a store, I can tell by the way the salesperson says, can I help you, if they hate their job or if they really want to help you. And most of us can tell. You know, right off the bat.
Well, you know, a trick is call them by, ask them their name, and then compliment them on something. And enroll them into being visible with you. Be kind and compassionate with them, because if they're reflecting that they're really, really unhappy, then you might be the messenger that changes that day or their life. And I've been involved with some of those situations where they just look at me and go, I can't believe that you showed up. To tell me what you told me, or I'm not reading them. I'm just feeling them.
They're feeling your presence and your high intensity.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Your intention is love. You know, what would love do?
Absolutely. Let me ask you. You know, a lot of people are trapped into negative money issues. How can they get out of that and just barely making it from month to month?
Well, you know, the people who are trapped in a pattern are usually trapped in a cultural pattern. The people whose parents came through the Depression, they passed it on to their children of the 60s, and the 60s passed it on to the next generation, and now it's fragrant.
Absolutely.
In our society. And so if you give that your reality, then you will create more of that. But let's look at the people who are doing jobs they don't really want to do and not listening to the calling of what their mission is. Yes, it takes knowing faith. It's a different from... like passive prayer and active prayer, it's very different. One has hope and one is very knowing. So when you know in your soul that you're an artist, then you've got to demonstrate that art artistically in some way. And you build on it. You give yourself sort of an outline of how you're going to get from where you are and to the end of the, you know, the outcome. And I always say to people, get the outline going, put some action into it, and turn it into knowing faith and turn it over to God and watch what happens. Then the synchronicities start falling into place, but you're putting positive energy towards what you want, and you don't let your pathological critic get in the way and take the dream or the desire away from you. It's something that you keep putting your mind to, which means you're putting energy to it, which means that you're putting it in your magnet, and it's sending a signal, and it brings it to you.
Absolutely, and you don't let other people rain on your parade, too.
People are going to support your dream, not people who are going to criticize it and take it away.
Now, tell me the difference between the active prayer and the passive prayer.
Well, I think that what I discovered is when I was doing passive prayer, I hoped that God would hear me.
I hope that God hears me. That's what the universe will give you, hope.
Exactly, right? And you'll just hang out there hoping.
Or wanting.
Well, when you do an active prayer, you put it into as though you've already received it, and in gratitude you thank God for giving you the abundance, for giving you the new job, or whatever it is that's going to make you happy. That is an energy that you have to come from you first, out to the angels, out to the God force, back to you. And you have to believe and know that that's how the system really works. And that's been my experience in life.
I see. Well, we're winding down. A few more questions, and then we have to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. The website, again, is badish.com, BADEISH.com. Let me ask you about spirit guides. I believe that there's a little grouping of angels and spirit guides around each person.
Mm-hmm.
How would a person find out who they are and how to contact them? Or does it matter if they just ask in general?
Well, this is probably not... to put this in the simplest form that I can, when you're ready, like the teacher, they appear. I believe that meditation is very important to create a sanctuary to go to and ask for that guide to show up. Many times they wait for a medium like myself to make themselves known to that person, and I have found that it's all over the park. It can be an animal totem. It can be a great-great-grandmother. It can be a child that has passed. In other words, every person is very, very unique. And I do believe in angels because I've seen them manifest physically in third-dimensional space. So no one could ever talk me out of that. When you've had the experience, it changes your life. But the fact is we're all having guardian angels that we come in with. Mine came in when I was born and manifested when I was 3. And I saw that angel in the hospital when I was 3 years old. And it was the angel that manifested when I was 38 that I told you about earlier. So they do exist, and they're waiting for the invitation for you to be using your sensory system to communicate with them. And they communicate through images and sounds, like I said, natural sounds, landscapes, photos of landscape, people, places, and things. I mean, that's the language of spirit. It's really all a code that is transmitted electromagnetically, and it exists in the quantum field of interdimensional space.
Right, so when you ask, we talked before about should I move in one city or go to another city, then you have to look around in your daily life for signs and symbols because they're going to be revealed to you, right?
That's right.
People may come up to you and say something out of the blue, or you may see a sign or something driving down the street, but you have to be looking for the specific clues.
Well, yes, you're asking for spirit to give you a confirmation, and when that confirmation shows up, it'll be some kind of code. I mean, I had a dragonfly one Sunday. I was sitting on my back deck in the trees where I live, and this huge, beautiful dragonfly flew around in about 4 or 5 circles and then dropped dead at my feet.
What do you think that meant?
Well, whatever illusions I might have had, that's what it means, illusions.
Right.
It also has a quality of magic to it, that I was going to have a breakthrough. And in fact, within 24 hours, I had a spiritual experience. So I always look at nature as a confirmer for me. And shamanism is a wonderful education to add to the intuitive. You don't have to become a shaman to understand shamanistic, history.
And that's one tool people can do, is take a walk out into nature. And
yeah, something will speak to them.
Get in touch with the spirit world.
Yes, look at the colors in nature. There's the code. Look at the things that can happen to you that you can't control. Nature knows you're there.
Right.
Nature knows you're there.
Much less distractions than in the city. So we all have to remember to do that.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Bettis, for joining us. You're really great.
Welcome.
Why don't you give out the site one more time, because people can call you nationwide, right?
That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
It's www.badeish.com.
Right, and you're up in the Northwest, Portland, with me, and
yes.
This is a great metaphysical city, and I think you're really great with radio, and I hope that you join the network and help you.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you very much. I was thinking about it. Thank you very much.
Well, I want to remind everyone to go over to the website, bbsradio.com. There's all kinds of great info. So thank you for joining us, and we'll talk later.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Mike. Bye.
Okay, that was another great guest for the show. And by the way, all of the previous shows are up on the archives, and the way that you find those is you go to bbsradio.com, and then you click on the show that you want. For instance, my show is called Odyssey, and I'm the host, Mike Schultz. And then you click that on, and I believe I have 6 or 7 archives up right now. Some really great shows. We have one on aromatherapy. We have one that's all on crystals. We have all these different great metaphysical topics, so please go to the archives and check that out. And I want to, at this segment of the show, I want to talk about some great websites that are out there. I have a friend named Alex Ansari, and he does a cable TV show in Portland. And his, his mission in life is to kind of warn people about the police state. And if you've read the book 1984, you know what I'm talking about. And there's more and more cameras going up. I read a report that in England there's thousands of cameras on every street corner. So we don't want to focus on that because we don't want to manifest that, but we do want to be aware of it. You know, there's a difference between just being aware of what's going on in the world and then manifesting it and putting your intense focus on it. We don't want to do that. So his site is alexansari.com, alexansary.com. And he talks about the New World Order, the One World Government that is developing. And believe me, these plans are being made behind the scenes. I've been researching a group called the Council on Foreign Relations. They're a private group in the United States, 4,000 very powerful people. Everyone from, Condoleezza Rice to Gary Hart to Jimmy Carter, they're all in this group. A lot of powerful news people like Barbara Walters are in it. And they've been working for years on a one-world government. That's what they want, centralized control. And as we know, it's already happened in Europe. The European Union is all connected, and these people don't have local representative government anymore. They are really under a more oppressive oligarchy or system. So that's happening in America, too. They're trying to merge the whole North American continent together. So you can find out more about that on another great website called Infowars.com, Infowars.com. And there's a real fireball named Alex Jones out of Texas. He's really great, and he gets into all these issues. So, and as far as my site, I released my second DVD, The Temples of Stone, and that really gets into ancient mysteries, specifically all of the temples in the East, in Cambodia. And I tackle a lot of different subjects, such as underwater ruins in Japan that are most likely over 9,000 years old. So some really old ancient monuments and mysteries, and I go through all the key clues to find out what they mean. To me, it's like a big puzzle. So I've got great photographs in this DVD. I have over 200 photos this time. I call it my Sergeant Pepper. I've put a lot of creative energy into this, and I have a great editor. So if you go to my site, you can buy the DVD. It's $15, and it's at fountainsofyouth.net, with an S, fountainsofyouth.net. So please check out the new cover, and you can read all the info on the back cover. And I cover about 20 different esoteric topics. I even get into crop circles, and I really do believe that you can discern between a real crop circle and a hoax. There's different clues if you study it and examine it. For instance, in a hoax, A lot of the stems of the grass are broken. But in a real one, they're all bent at like a 90-degree angle, which would be very hard to do for human beings without breaking them. Another clue is there's intense heat in the real ones, almost like it's been microwaved, and there's steam coming out of it that the farmers report. And a lot of the bugs and butterflies and snails have been almost boiled alive. So that's another clue that you're dealing with a real one instead of a hoax. And people have actually witnessed that. Many people, of course, stay out in the fields all night, and most of them occur in England or Canada, and some occur in America and Africa. But generally, it's England is about 80% and Canada is about 15%. So people who stay out there night after night are rewarded sometimes, and they see glowing orbs come down into the field, and they swirl around these glowing balls of light, and then the crop circle manifests within about 15 to 30 seconds, and then the globe drifts away. And there's actually a video of this. A Japanese film crew caught it several years ago. It's called Crop Circles and Signs. And once again, I really get into this issue, and I show a lot of different incredible crop circles. I believe that some of them are very symbolic, and the code has been broken as to what they mean and as to why they were put there. So go to my site and order my new DVD, The Temple of Stone, and you can either hook it up through Odyssey, looking at my show on bbsradio.com, or go to fountainsofyouth.net. And so so there's a lot of really great websites out there, and I really believe people should just keep sharing great sites with each other, because the news is becoming more and more and more filtered. And what's incredibly annoying is they just repeat the same headlines over and over. I was stuck this week in an auto dealership, and I had to listen to network news for an hour. They must have said the same story 7 times. It was absurd. It was ridiculous. So, the network news, the ratings are down, and the circulation of a lot of newspapers is down. Where I'm from in Los Angeles, they're trying to sell the LA Times. The circulation is down so low. You know, people are shifting over to internet radio and a lot of websites for really cutting-edge, great information. So each week I'll be giving you, different sites where you can go find out about stories that you just won't hear on the news. Another example, one of the big stories I've been following for a year now is aspartame, and how the state of New Mexico is trying to ban it, and how there's a lot of ill health effects with aspartame, and it's in almost everything. If you look at the gum and the candy and the mints on the counter before you check out, look in the back, and almost every single one of them has aspartame. So the best way out of that mess is to just start going to whole food stores and natural food stores, and you could probably find products without it or with much less. For instance, there's a soda pop called Hansen's that does not have aspartame, and that's found in health food stores. But, and they're not a sponsor, by the way. I'm just talking about products that I like. And most soda pop does have aspartame in it. Pepsi and Coke and all of the rest of them have high amounts. And, I really encourage people to look into that and try to free yourself of toxins, especially if you're on this metaphysical path and trying to develop your intuition. My co-host, Candia, is coming on at any moment, and she'll let me know when she's coming aboard. And she's a really great intuitive. She has also developed her abilities. And we can all do that, like Badish told us earlier, my guest. It has to do with having an area of your home that's a meditation area, or walking out in nature. So you have a little set pattern throughout your week and your day. And you just take those 20 minutes. You can do it in the shower. You know, you can use your morning time in the shower as a meditation time. If you have gardening to do, let's say 3-4 times a week at 20 minutes, you can go out in your yard and do your gardening, and that's your meditation time. Because some of us, our minds are so active that we need that busy work with our hands so that our conscious mind can just be busy with something that's really repetitive. And then we can really get a lot of good insight and solve our problems. Typically what you would do with a garden meditation is you would ask your spirit guides that, you know, you need direction in a certain area of your life, or you need to solve a certain problem. And then you go out and you do the gardening, and then hopefully or usually an answer will come, especially if you ask it over the course of a week. And you can do that with dreams, too. Before you go to bed, you can write down a question on a piece of paper and ask your spirit guides. And in the morning, right away, you know, tape record your thoughts or write it down real quick, because within a few minutes, a lot of those images are lost. So those are some good ideas, too. And, you know, as I'm on my metaphysical path, I'll just share all the tips that I pick up, and we can help each other out. So we're all really functioning at our highest level and at our best. And I'm a tarot reader as well, and I throw in a lot of these suggestions during my sessions. And I know a lot of you are not near Portland, Oregon. You're all over the nation, but, you know, call me, and we'll do a nationwide, we'll do a phone reading at fountainsofyouth.net. You can, I'm linked up to PayPal, and we can do it right over the computer, and I'll call you, and we'll have a session for 30 minutes or an hour. So if you're at a crossroads in your life, it's really great to have a tarot reading. It's like a neutral sounding board. You can really throw out your ideas for projects and interests you have, and see if the universe is giving you a yes sign or a no sign. It's a good way, because we don't want to waste our time spending 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or even 6 months on a project that you're not supposed to be doing. You know, so, you know, you hate to have someone, you know, go back to school and study something that they really not are supposed to be studying. That's a waste of our time and energy, and time is precious, and we do want to use that. And Candia, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi, I can barely hear you. Can you speak up a bit?
I will talk up as loud.
Okay, you always have such interesting topics to talk about. What's on your mind today?
Hey, you know what? Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
No, I love listening to you.
Well, one of the things, actually, you know, I have to say right off the bat, I appreciate that, because I love to laugh, and that just brought out the laughter. And right now, because of it raining so unbelievably hard, that we need all the laughter we can get. I got two phone calls yesterday from two different clients, two different parts of the, you know, the state, actually both in Washington, but I think the weather has had some bearing on it just because of all of our storms, and they were both calling over other people, actually, and they're very stressed about other people. And it was my job yesterday to not necessarily have a session, a reading with them, as much as just to assuage their fears, because fears come up, and I'm sure in your work, Mike, you also get that. The fears crop up. And I think what's really, really, really important is for us to remember that everybody chooses their own path. Everybody decides what it is that they want to do. Now, they may not remember that consciously, that on some level they have made choices to do the things that they have created in their life. Examples, the one story of a woman. Actually, they're both very, very similar. Both women called about other women who were going through some incredible physical crises in their lives, as well as emotional wrecks, you know, literally automobile accidents, and then physical manifestations of incredible pain, suffering, all of those wonderful things that we would consciously like to avoid. What's important, I feel, to remember that for us to remember, and this is, I talk to myself about this all the time, it was a great reminder for me, is that we tend to worry. We tend to want, what can we do to help? Because we want to be fixing people, which is a wonderful attribute, is to help. The key, though, I feel, is to remember, is not to worry, because that amplifies the energy, ironically. If we can turn it around and make it a positive and send them love, send them light, send them positive energy, send them things that would help benefit their lives, that is our best antidote. That is our best medicine that we can do. Because literally, when I see it energetically, worry is one of the, this is one of these things I really have to work with my mother on. She's always worrying about my kids, for example. It's like, stop it already, okay? Stop. And it, all it does is amp up the frequency. So instead, it's best to be very, very positive. Again, because on some level, each of us make those choices. Now, with each of these individuals that I was looking at yesterday, again, and it was at the request of these clients of mine, both of them, their will to live was just above 50%. Their life force was just a little bit above that. Now, I always look at those two factors when I look at individuals. Life force, you can look at it from 1 to 10 or 1 to 100. And if their life force starts to drop due to a trauma, then if it balances out with their will to live at 100%, then you know that person is going to come out okay. If their will to live starts to drop, as well as their life force, then you're talking a different ballgame. And again, what we have to remember is that those people make those choices, not us. And even that, they make those unconsciously. It can also be part of the contract that they have created when they chose to come into this life. We forget that we have contracts that we sign up for these things. We're kind of going, wait a second, I didn't do this. There's no way I didn't sign up for this contract. Nope, didn't do it. And yet, if we go back to that time of entry, actually prior to entry, before our aspect of our souls comes into body, we make these choices that say, okay, what are we going to do in this life? What are the things that I really want to experience? Because I really want to learn more depths of compassion, of caring, of knowledge, of wisdom, of love, all the different really incredible emotions that we have the ability to really tap into at this level of the physical experience. We make those choices on the other side before we come into this body. That's also very, very important to remember about ourselves, about our loved ones, and about our friends out there in the world. Everybody's had those choices. There are no victims. That's a really big one. We forget that there are no victims. We always want to go into that, oh, those poor people, all that horrible thing. Okay, great. It's true. Not everything that we experience on this planet is fabulous. Not all of it is smooth. However, it could be one hell of a ride if you really, you know, look at it that way. Because if you've had traumas in your life, several years later, when looking back, when you've made your way through it and you've come through it, not unscathed, but richer, smarter, wiser, you look back and you understand all the reasons. And also you understand the events that led up to it that helped you create it. So it's the in hindsight is where we gain our wisdom. Now, the key, of course, is to turn that around so that every day we don't necessarily have to always have the hindsight, but that we can live totally in the present moment to enjoy what we have, to be fully here in this second and enjoy what we have to do with our lives, what we have to create a nurturing space for ourselves, to enjoy our friends, our family, all of the events that are going on, and look at the positives. When stress starts really kicking in, and of course this all triggers, you know, like I said, with different clients, weather has a huge effect on us.
It really, it makes a lot of people depressed, and there's something called seasonal affective disorder. But we can manifest good weather, can't we?
You know what, my kids are always on me about that. Can we manifest good weather? I believe we can. I believe that we have a group consciousness. You know, it's very interesting. I don't know, have you seen Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth?
About global warming, not yet, but I'm definitely aware of the issue.
Well, the one good thing, there are two things about the movie. One, I love the fact that he brought into political awareness what a huge issue that most of us believe in anyway, right? He got a little bit too much into his own political agenda on it, which kind of detracts from it, but still the message comes across. What I find very fascinating is, you're going to love this, this doesn't relate to you, Mike, but it does to a lot of my clients, and that is I have a lot of women that are in their 40s to 60s, and so they have been challenged with amped up, what I would call amped up menopausal symptoms. And when hot flashes happen, it means that your triple warmer meridian is off balance, which goes into your adrenal glands, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, what it does is it gets you very hot, and yet your extremities are cold. It's very reminiscent of the planet with global warming and all this heavy rain that we're getting because other places have nothing, right? It's so, there are extremes everywhere. And I feel that the females who are very emotionally sensitive are very tuned into this. I really feel that's another reason why menopausal symptoms are up. It's that connection, there's a correlation. They're reflecting back the Earth's energies. and emotions. I don't know if you've ever heard that one before.
No, absolutely. And yeah. And just back to choosing your life path, I feel that once people understand reincarnation, that it gives you the license to kind of go for it, because, you know, you're going to be able to come back many other times. So just do, you know, do it when you want to do.
Yeah, enjoy it. It's really great. It is. Life can be really awesome. And it's all a matter of choices. We have to make those good choices. And you know what? Speaking of good choices, I was talking to another client, and he's got a business. And yet he can get very cranky, and then his employees get cranky. And I said, well, don't you know every single day if you're being a butt? He goes, yes. I go, okay. Then use that with your employees as well. It goes back to choices. Every day we have choices to make, to choose whether that day is going to be a good day. And, of course, we have to learn how to override the weather. In fact, I was thinking about that today. We in the Northwest always are worried that we're going to go into drought. The big drought word always comes in. So our group consciousness here says, oh, it's got to rain. It's got to rain. So, of course, we bring that to us on that level. I believe if we started to, the group, if we could take everybody in the Northwest, if they were of this belief pattern, and we could create a balance in the weather, I believe we could do that. We could do it all over the planet.
Absolutely.
We have incredible...
Well, the Indians used to do rain dances, so...
Oh, you know what? I learned a Native American rain dance as a kid, and every time we sang it, we had sunshine. It was great.
It did the opposite, right?
It was the opposite.
I want to remind people that you do readings nationwide as an intuitive. Why don't you tell us about your website as we wind down? We have about 2 more minutes.
Oh, you're great, Mike. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Please check out my webpage, our website. Actually, there are several pages there. It's in the process of being worked on. Again, we're adding to it with some more stories. It just goes straight to my name, which is Candia Sanders. Just go www.candiasanders.com. And you can find all kinds of different information there. And again, some really good stories from different clients that I've had over the years, because their stories are, well, the stories that I learn every day, weekly, from people are just amazing. I couldn't make it up if I wanted to. So please take the time to read them. I think you'll find them very fascinating, because on some level they will relate to your life or someone that you know. And speaking of those things, be sure and check out Mike's video, his new DVD, on those power places.
The Temples of Stone.
Oh, I think it's great. In fact, that's something I would like for you and I to do. This is my request. I'm going to just state it on the air so we don't forget.
Okay.
Is to go into your temples and then look at them intuitively. One of my desires since I was a kid, literally since I was a child, was to do psychic archaeology.
Find out what really happened all those years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I want to remind the audience that next week you will be flying solo on the show. I'll be traveling. So next Thursday you'll probably have a guest lined up, right? Or
more than likely. More than likely.
That would be great.
Yes, it's just a matter of who I choose.
Who do you feel is appropriate for the holiday season?
Exactly.
So
that's exactly right.
CandiaSanders.com. And join Candia and call her up for a reading wherever you are in the nation. Thanks for joining us, Candia.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. You have a great day.
Happy holidays. And thanks for listening to Odyssey. And we'll rerun tonight at 9 o'clock. Bye-bye.
Bye.